Welcome to Broadcast Media, the inside track, brought to you by Ancast. And here's your host, Ben Anker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This week, we've got Melissa Carr on the show. She's a consultant and professional services specialist in broadcast. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Well, let's start proceedings and start asking you, how did you start off and, you know, what did you do to get into the industry?
So I've been working in sort of professional services for probably about 20 odd years now. So I originally got into professional services through my interest in process and technology. So a bit of a weird start. So I started right at the very bottom, so working for a very small startup company, copying floppy disks. So quite fairly unusual kind of start, but it was a small company that was growing very rapidly. I was very interested in the process side of things and how to expand the business. So I quickly became a production manager for that business. The business grew massively, took on loads more work. And I took responsibility for designing all of the processes and systems that made up that business. So that was my kind of initiation into sort of process design, I suppose. But at the same time, I was really interested in sort of business management, business administration. So I started my MBA studies. So I was working and studying part-time at the same time. So my next sort of key move was I went to Siemens IT Logistics. So looking for a slightly bigger company. And the work that I was doing there was not particularly interesting. It was okay. So it was looking at fulfilling inventory requests and making sure that stock planning was done effectively and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The interesting thing there was that I ended up working on an SAP implementation. So there was an external consultant who came in and wanted to know more about how the business operated so that he could draw the process maps and define the system requirements for the new system. So, and this was something that absolutely fascinated me. So I was, you know, really, really interested in the work that he was doing. And, you know, his comments to me were like, you seem to have a real talent for this sort of thing. So, you know, reworking his process maps and correcting things that he hadn't quite understood properly. So, you know, he's saying, you know, you really ought to consider doing this as a career. This is a good career to get into. So I thought that was very intriguing and kind of really sparked my interest. So the next thing was I saw an opportunity as part of a Six Sigma process improvement team, a new team that was being set up in Coventry by Marconi. So I applied. So I was really fortunate to be in the first sort of 16 people who joined that team. And the idea was to provide a process improvement function for the whole of Marconi Services, Northern Europe. So I did my Six Sigma training. So the thing that's interesting about Six Sigma is it's a strong process discipline for improving process quality. So, you know, we rolled out a program across that organization. And then when Marconi sort of hit the dot-com bubble and had to massively reduce in size, our services team were then parachuted into the head office, the global head office in London, and looked at how we managed the program to reduce costs globally to meet bank repayments, because, you know, they really were up against the wall at that point. And that was the point after that when I had the opportunity to enter the broadcast industry.
Exciting.
Yeah. So I saw a job as a business analyst working for BBC Broadcast in London. And for me, that was really fascinating opportunities. And media was something that I'd always been interested in. And this new program looked very, very good. So the objective when I first joined was to look at building the new broadcast centre in White City. So the BBC were moving their playouts, their creative services and their access services, so subtitling, signing and audio description, out of Television Centre and into the new broadcast centre. But in doing that, they wanted to totally change the way that they operated. So playout was moving from analogue to digital. Creative was moving from the creative editors being purely design type people to doing self-op editing. So there's a whole new set of skills to learn in order to make that work. And the access services people were going to have a whole new suite of equipment and facilities as well. So my first task on joining the team was to work out the business cases associated with changing the ways of working. So that was a great project. So looking in detail at the way that creatives work, for example, and trying to figure out how much time and how much resource was going to be required in order to fulfill the workload from the BBC. So that was my first foray into broadcasting.
It's funny how, you know, you started off in sort of process design and working with floppy disks and having a very some skills like the Six Sigma, which sort of transcends industries.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I always ask, you know, was there any calling signs or any sort of flags that you sort of knew you had a place in the industry? And it sounded like the wind just took you in this case, did it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't something that I deliberately set out to follow. It's not like I didn't do a degree in broadcasting. I didn't do, you know, I didn't focus on media studies. My interest has always been more on the professional side of, you know, how do businesses work and how can you make businesses work as effectively as possible? And I think one of the things I really liked about the broadcast industry is that the output is very visible. So if you're looking, if you work in banking, for example, or insurance, then, you know, the outputs of those services don't appear to be as tangible. So I really like the fact that you could physically see the outputs, you know, on the screen at the end of the day, but also, you know, the media logistics side of things is really fascinating. So, you know, it's just looking at how our content gets from one place to another is something that's really been a, you know, a bit of a passion.
I guess you've been involved in some quite major projects in the industry, big programs of work. Is there any sort of highlights that stick out? I know you started in the business analyst sort of area when you first came into the broadcast industry, but then you've sort of dealt with project management and even program management.
Yeah, absolutely. So the key projects that I've sort of been really proud to be involved with. So, you know, we worked, so building the broadcast centre and fitting that out was, you know, a fantastic opportunity. The BBC Project Orion, so I didn't see that one all the way through, but that was the pan BBC scheduling system that, you know, took a good few years to get into place. So, you know, we had some initial involvement in supporting the BBC and doing some of the initial scoping on that system. One of the projects I enjoyed the most was probably setting up the first end-to-end digital media asset management system and processes for Flextech Television, which later became Virgin Media Television. So that was designing end-to-end digital workflows across multiple sites. So from ingest to broadcast, implementing a brand new media asset management system. So working with Ardendo in Sweden and subsequently working with Cordis, designing automated workflows. And so that was one of the earliest media asset management system implementations, or, you know, major media asset management system implementations in the industry. So, you know, we moved content from ingest through compliance editing and promo creation all the way through to play out digitally. So, you know, it was a fantastic project to be involved with.
And I guess the further you got in that sort of project management and program management, did you become sort of further away from the business analysis? What sort of skills did you develop? And, you know, was there more sort of responsibility on you at that point?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I developed my career as a process improvement and business analysis specialist. I became head of business analysis at Redbee Media very quickly, actually. So, you know, from that first project, I then started building a team of business analysts to fulfill the amazing sort of range of work that we had coming in. BBC Broadcast in that time went from being a supplier to the BBC and UK TV to being a fully, you know, fully commercially owned supplier of services to people like Channel 5, Channel 4, ITV, iPlayer, you know, massive expansion in the range of range of customers and the range of services that it offered. Yeah. So that was brilliant. So head of business analysis was fantastic because I had the opportunity to develop new BAs coming through the pipeline, to spot talent, to pull people into the team and sort of develop their careers all the way through to the point where, you know, they were running my job at points in the future. So that was great. That was the point at which I left Redbee Media and became an independent consultant and took on program management responsibility. So I went to work for Ericsson, who at that time had just bought Technicolor, and they were providing services to ITV, among other companies. But my portfolio was associated with, was basically delivering the set of services that ITV required for playout, new channel launches, total playout system refresh. So yeah, a different approach, but because I'd been part of the management team at Redbee for so long and I'd seen projects end to end, I'd influenced those projects, I'd taken responsibility for managing parts of those projects, you know, I was very well placed to pick up a program management role and take a bit more responsibility for direct delivery of individual pieces of work and portfolios of work.
Probably just a natural progression, really. And have you seen, you know, you're dealing with these sort of huge projects and programs of work. You must have a bit of an ear to the ground about trends you see in the media industry, especially at the moment. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the things that have been happening recently. So, I mean, there's been a lot of business consolidation. So, you know, there's been Comcast and Sky, Disney and Fox have been working on their integration for the last two or three years now, I believe. You know, Viacom have been, you know, consolidating their portfolio. And then more recently, the sort of BBC Studios and UK TV merger. You know, so there's definitely a lot of consolidation going on in the industry. I think I saw a slide a few weeks ago which said, you know, so 10 years ago, sort of 90% of the media industry was controlled by a much wider selection of sort of studio owners and businesses. Okay, whereas today, you know, we're down to about six really large, you know, super media organizations.
Yeah.
You know, the focus on media ownership by the Hollywood studios for VOD rights, that's a big thing. So, you know, Disney pulled back distribution rights for their content so that they could focus on their Disney Plus platform. NBC are doing, you know, will be doing a similar thing with their Peacock platform. Warner are looking at HBO Max. And then you've got BritBox. You know, so they're also sort of focusing on the VOD side of things and looking at what gets distributed for free versus what should be associated with a paid subscription. You know, BritBox is a slightly different kettle of fish because, you know, their primary market seemed to be overseas, although they've launched in the UK, you know, that they're really focused on maximizing the sale of the rights overseas, or, you know, providing access to media overseas. You've also got, you know, expansion of studio facilities. So the UK is a massive producer of films and TV programs. So, you know, there are massive developments happening at Pinewood and Shepperton, for example. Or they're looking at quadrupling in size over the next few years. So, you know, the media industry in the UK is a really good place to be, I think, even though, you know, there have been significant pandemic effects over the last year.
Yeah, what are those effects? Do we know them yet, or?
I think, you know, so the early effects, you know, are quite visible. So, you know, one of the positive effects has been the increase in media consumption and linear TV viewership. So that's gone up significantly as a consequence of lockdown and people looking for new ways to spend their time. But in association with that, the broadcasters haven't received the advertising revenue that they would have wanted because of the overall economic situation, meaning that businesses are not marketing, they don't have such significant marketing budgets as they did previously. They may not be able to sell their services. So, you know, it's the industry has felt a real squeeze in terms of, you know, what they can provide, you know, huge demand, less money. What can they do in that situation?
Yeah, difficult, hey? And I guess you're a consultant now. I'm just trying to draw some parallels to perhaps, you know, university students leaving a kind of a support bubble of their university and people leaving full-time work to go into consulting, or people from outside the industry wanting to sort of move into a new career possibly in the industry. And that sort of transition where you sort of leave a support bubble, what's the advice around that? Did you just have to be brave, or was it, you know, quite a sort of liberating time for you?
Yeah, I think there are two things. So one is, you know, how do you get into professional services in the media industry? And the second is, how do you, you know, what working model do you want to follow? So do you want to be a full-time, permanent, paid employee, or do you want to be an independent consultant? So first of all, you know, how do you get into professional services in the media industry? So I would say that if that is your end goal, get some operational experience in the media industry. It's not the route I followed, but, you know, if you know that's what you want to do, you need to learn about how different departments work, get to understand a bit more about the culture of the different types of teams, get into the detail of work processes, and look for any improvements that you can highlight to your managers and the people that you work with. So if you've got the time, start to write up your suggestions. So not everything will be feasible, but, you know, at least it proves that you've got an inquiring mind and are focused on improving the working situation. Yeah. That's kind of tip one. Volunteer to work on projects. So if there's any kind of significant change happening in your business or department, the chances are that subject matter experts, so people who know the business, who understand the operations, are going to be required to participate in those by giving information or helping with testing or something similar to that. So that's how I got involved. That was my kind of Siemens experience. So once you start working with analysts or project managers or testers or developers, you'll start to understand more about the dynamics of projects. And, you know, you'll start to get a bit more of a feel for the areas that you're most interested in. If you've got the opportunity and your managers are supportive, then, you know, ask for some training in business analysis or project management. Or there are lots of online courses, or, you know, you can pay for courses yourself as well. But there's lots of free training as well that's worth taking a look at.
Yeah, yeah. And what does success mean for you, Melissa? You know, what really drives you? What's the passion?
I really enjoy improving businesses. So for me, it's all about results. You know, taking a business from one position and, you know, sort of transforming the process, the culture, the deliverables, the KPIs, you know, the measurable outcomes to something else. And I really enjoy both the kind of success of that end delivery, but I love the journey. You know, I really love the discovery process, you know, meeting people, talking to people, uncovering things which no one really thought to mention previously, scratching the surface and seeing what's really there. But I also enjoy the fact that it's an opportunity to take other people with you as well. So it's, you know, to take the SMEs with you, so, you know, to help them develop their skills and their learning, but also the managers as well. So to give them the insight and, you know, show them different ways of doing things is really, you know, very much a passion.
If you could talk to your 18-year-old self now, Melissa, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, my goodness. I think I would say have confidence in the fact that do what you enjoy, I think I would say. Do what you enjoy and follow the paths that open up to you. Try not to say no to anything. So, you know, try to always take the opportunities that are in front of you. The, you know, where I am now, all of my previous experiences have led to this place. You know, there is not a single experience that I regret in my journey. You know, it's all helped build the set of skills I have now, the reference models that I have now. So yeah, do it.
No, that's great advice. So your consultancy is called Cube Consulting, is that right?
Consulting Cube.
Consultingcube.co.uk, yeah. That's the web address. And does it specialise in any particular thing? Or?
Yep. So, you know, my focus over the last few years has been on operating model design, program management, business transformation. You know, I've got the kind of range of services that I offer is quite broad, but the benefit of that is that I can look at sort of end to end, you know, a future business vision and translate that into the practical steps to get to that business vision. So it's the ability to move between the high level picture and the critical detail that will make sure that it actually delivers and actually works. So.
Fantastic. Well, here's to many more years in the consulting world, Melissa. I'd just like to say thank you for coming on the show. It's been a really fascinating insight into the sort of broadcast program and projects world. So thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks for tuning into Broadcast Media, the Inside Track. Subscribe for more real-life insights into the industry. And for more information, head to ancast.co.uk.